The spirit of generosity is an amazing blessing from heaven. Let's read a few scriptures. I want to talk briefly about the God of the overflow. In Psalm 23 from verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen." I want to look at verse 5, and please put that up for me in the New Living Translation, the NLT. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." Hallelujah. Can you say that with me wherever you are in the sanctuary and at home? Say with me, "My cup overflows with blessings." You may need a renewal of mind to be able to say that confidently with faith and expectation. So just take a minute now, renew your mind quickly because we don't have time. Quickly renew it. Now it's renewed. Now say with me, "My cup overflows with blessings." Say just one more time before we move on. "My cup overflows with blessings." God is the God of the overflow. It may be very different from the theology that most of us have celebrated all our lives. I learned a long time ago on my journey, very early on, after I came into Christ, I learned you can never judge God by the reality of your present circumstances. What you see around your life, what you see in other people's lives, people's experiences, disappointment, lack, failure, and all of those things, do not adequately describe who God is. In order to appreciate who God is, you must always take your eyes away from the reality of what you see around you in your circumstances, your personal life, or the lives of people that you know, many that you know, and you must always put your eyes back on the Word of God. And what you see in the Word is who God is. Whatever you see in the Word, that's who God is. This God is a God of love. This God is a good God. He's a patient God. The Bible even calls him long-suffering. Do you know the only reason many of us are here today still preaching his word is because he's a long-suffering God? That means he suffered long for many of us. I can tell you he suffered long. He suffered very long. But his long-suffering is paying off. Hallelujah. He is a good God. Say those words with me one more time. "My cup overflows with blessings." Amen. Jesus told us, he said that's why he came. After everything the world had been through and all the mess, I'm sorry for using that word, that the enemy, Satan, had created, Jesus said, this is why I came. Please put up for me in the Amplified Version, John chapter 10, verse 10. You can probably understand a little bit of the reason why when I personally found John chapter 10, verse 10 in the Amplified, it became a mighty revelation to me. It was such a revelation that when I remember almost 20 years ago, when I went to seek the Lord about the direction and what the crux of the ministry should be, John chapter 10, verse 10 was the foundation on which abundant life was built. And it says in the Amplified, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. It immediately became the vision of my life. Because it was absolutely contrary to everything I had ever known and contrary to everything I had ever experienced. Overflow, you might as well have been cursing if you said that in my ears. I had no idea whatsoever what overflow meant. What abundant life meant. So I came that you may have life and that you may have it how? More abundantly, it says in the King James. I had no idea because there was nothing representative of abundant life, not in my story, and there was nothing representative of abundant life in my present condition at the time, and there was nothing representative of abundant life in a lot of what I had heard. But I accepted it because I found it in the Word of God. And I took it on as my vision for the future. I said, if God said abundant life is possible, then so be it. Abundant life is possible. And abundant life is possible not just in some people's lives, because He's not a respecter of persons. Whatever God can do for one, He can do for another. And if God can give one abundant life, and I could see, I had to look very far to see some that had abundant life, but I could find some. And I said to myself, if some can have abundant life, certainly I can have abundant life. He said, I came so that they might have and enjoy life and have it to the full. Have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. All right. There's one other scripture I want you to look at real quickly with me. It's a very popular one in Amos chapter 9, verse 13. We all usually get crazy when we read the Message translation of this scripture. You know, we just go wild. We go, woo! And it's awesome. It's one of those amazing scriptures, right? It's one of those amazing scriptures. If you look at what it says. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. See, this is our vision. Hallelujah. So forgive us when we go crazy when we read this scripture. We have been saying this, it won't be long now, for a few years, and we still know it won't be long now. We haven't seen all that He said yet, but we just know today Right now, we are closer to it than we have ever been, so it won't be long now. He says, God's decree, things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Oh, Lord. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Everywhere you look, blessings. Everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Somebody say, it won't be long now. Come on, say, it won't be long now. I believe it more than I ever have. It won't be long now. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? God is not a man that he should lie, and he's not the son of a man that he should repent. If he said it, he will bring it to pass. If he promised it, he will establish it. And I declare, it won't be long now. Hallelujah. 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 But then I also fell in love with the amplified version of this scripture. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. The treader of grapes will overtake those who sow the seeds. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessing. Everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with blessing. Overflow, 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 overflow. You see, we are just being like God if we see barrenness and we declare overflow. Some people think you are crazy when you say overflow, even though you see barrenness. But we are just being like God, because God said, He everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessing. I prophesy over your life that you will experience overflow. Overflow is coming to your neighborhood. Overflow is coming to your city. Overflow is coming to your backyard. Overflow is coming to your household. Overflow is coming into your living room. Overflow is coming into your bedroom. Overflow is coming to your bank account. Overflow is coming into every area of your life. Shout yes if you believe it. Come on, shout yes if you believe it. God's destiny for his sheep is overflow in all areas of life. I want you to say those words with me. God's destiny For his sheep is overflow in all areas of life. Can you say that one more time? God's destiny for his sheep is overflow in all areas of life. God wants to abound towards us in every area. Overflow is not a one-dimensional blessing from heaven. First, he wants to overflow towards us in our spiritual lives. Think about it. Love, joy, peace, health, fruitfulness, fulfillment, happiness, favor, accomplishments. All of these are spiritual blessings that the Lord wants to place upon his people. Think about it. The very first harvest, the first harvest that every believer encounters is the harvest of the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and on and on and on. It's the fruit, the harvest, the first harvest. God wants to overflow in our lives. God wants you to have so much love that there's no room for hate. That even if you see hatred, and even if you hear hatred, and even if hatred confronts you in your very before, You will just walk past it. Sorry for my English. Sorry for my French. You will just walk past it without even paying attention. God wants you to be so full of love. So full of love that you can love even your enemies. He wants you to be so full of love that you can do good to those who do you wrong. He wants you to be so full of peace that in the midst of the confusion of the world, you are never bothered. You are never worried. You are never anxious. You have an abundance. That's why the Bible calls it rivers. Rivers. Rivers of living water. Rivers of peace. Rivers of joy. Rivers of life. Rivers of love. Rivers of happiness. Rivers of favor. Hallelujah. God wants to fill our lives with overflow of spiritual blessings. But you know, our lives are not one-dimensional either. What's the use of having so much of the overflow of the fruit of the Spirit, but our personal physical lives are barren and fruitless? That is not God's plan. And so he declared this very boldly, heretofore, everything barren and unfruitful will overflow with blessings. God wants to supply every need of his people. Understand what the Lord is saying to us today. We are not there, but we are well on our way. We are going there. He said, heretofore. Did you see that? Heretofore. What does heretofore mean? He says, that means here. So, and four. That's like a 3D language right there. Here, to. I guarantee you, Webster's cannot translate that. Here, to, four. Amen. Here, to, four. Everything barren will overflow with blessings. I want you to know that when it comes to overflow in the realm of the blessings of life, material blessings, which is one of the things, one of the areas where God wants to give us overflow, don't take the fruit, the harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, and leave the harvest of the fruit of material benefits. Don't do that. Take the harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, but also take the harvest of the fruits of the material benefit that the Lord wants to give us. We are not there, but we are very well on our way. Somebody say, we are on our way to overflow. Say it again. We are well on our way to overflow. If somebody asks you, where are you going, my friend? Say, I'm going to overflow. I'm going to overflow city. I'm going to overflow junction. I'm going to overflow house. I'm going to overflow boulevard. Hallelujah. Overflow boulevard. Hallelujah. We are on our way to overflow. Amen. Now, I want you to know that when it comes to overflow in material blessings, when it comes to overflow in material blessings, the two most important things that determine your ability to go, they are markers on your journey to that overflow. As long as these two things are constantly available in your life, these markers will keep directing you to the destination of overflow. In every area of the world, when you look every part of the world where God talks about harvest, or where God talks about overflow, or where God talks about increase, or where God talks about his blessing upon his people, the two pointers, the two indicators that he has put in place to make sure that you stay on that course of overflow are, number one, obedience, and number two, the spirit of generosity. The two markers that will see to it that you arrive. They will make sure that your journey is not abruptly terminated. They will make sure that you get there. There is something that I started calling the mystery of the seed. The mystery of the seed. My prayer for all of us is that we will begin to understand the mystery of the seed. Based on your seed, God has sworn he will see to it that you get to your destination. Based on the spirit of generosity, God has seen to it. He will see to it that you arrive at your destination. Because the spirit of generosity and obedience, they work together to see to it that you collaborate with God in his harvest that he seeks upon the earth. And every time you walk in obedience and the spirit of generosity, you are partnering with God. God can never fail. God can never lose. God's work can never be aborted. So every time you take on obedience and the spirit of generosity, you are in partnership with God to arrive at your destination. God himself will come into agreement with you. He will come into partnership with you to ensure that your journey is not aborted. Your destiny is not aborted. Your journey is not frustrated. You will arrive at the destination of overflow that God has ordained for you. Somebody shout amen to this. So what are the two things that are markers on your road that will guarantee you arrive at the destination of overflow? Shout them out loud. Number one, obedience. Number two, the spirit of generosity. I'm going to give just the last bit of time that I have to minister. I'm talking just briefly, a little bit, about the spirit of generosity. I'll take one of them. I want to say something to you right here. This is very important. Every act It's long, so it may be difficult for you to write it, abbreviate it and write it later. But mark it somewhere, somewhere where you will never forget this in your life. Every act of selfless giving in obedience to God is a supernatural transaction that puts you in position for heaven's overflow blessings. I'll say it one more time. Every act of selfless giving in obedience to God is a supernatural transaction that puts you in position for heaven's overflow blessings. Most believers have not appropriated or understood the mystery of the seed. The mystery of the seed. The seed is the first and most important prerequisite for any harvest in life. The seed is the first and most important prerequisite for any harvest in life. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 12, it says, the seed, and the seed shall be prosperous. And the vine will give her fruit. And the ground will give her increase. And the heavens will give their due. And I will cause these people to inherit all these things. I will cause these people to inherit all. Somebody say all. God has all for you. God has all for you. It's called overflow. It's called abundant life. God has all. I will cause these people to inherit all. But notice where it starts from. And the seed shall be prosperous. That's where it starts from. In order for the fruit to give his vine, in order for the ground to give his increase, in order for the heaven to give dew, and in order for God's people to inherit all these things, the seed must be prosperous. There is no inheritance without seed. That is powerful. You should write it down somewhere. There is no inheritance without seed. There is no possession without seed. In that later verse, in verse 13, towards the end, he said, and you will be, he said, where you've been a curse, they called you a curse. You will be a blessing. Well, the reason you will be a blessing is because you will inherit and you will possess. The seed, I'm going to say this to you again. The seed is the first and most important prerequisite for any harvest in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He said, and he who ministers seed to the sower, both provide bread or minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Notice where all this starts from. He who ministers seed to the sower. There's a mystery of the seed that a lot of believers don't understand. That dollar is not dollar. It's a seed. That donation, that generous gift you people gave to those families in Akron is not dollars.
is seed. It's called seed. The reason the seed is a mystery, many people don't understand. The reason the seed is a mystery is because God himself gave up his best seed for the harvest of the world. God himself, he gave up his best seed for the harvest of the world. When they thought about it in heaven, what can we do to redeem humanity? What can we do? There were three people discussing it. There was God the Father. There was God the Son. There was God the Holy Spirit. The dearest person to God that was closest to humanity, to the human race, sitting in this conversation, he was the closest to the heart of God, but he was also the closest to the human race, and he was in this conversation. His name was Jesus. And while they were having this conversation, God said, it looks like I will have to give my best seed for the redemption of humanity. And he turned to God the Son. He said, Son, will you go? And the Son said, I will, if it is your will. If it is your will. What the Son said continued all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. When he said, Lord, Father, this is how, if you can take this cup, this is how, but if it is your will, okay, if it is your will. God himself gave the best seed ever. That's why I call it the mystery of the seed. Because when you take your seed is your selfless sacrifice. When you take something that is precious to you, oh, Jesus. When you take that thing that is precious to you and you, in a selfless act of ministry, selfless act of blessing, you give it to somebody else. Mind you, the only reason you are giving it to that person is because you want to get it to God. But this is the channel that God has said needs this. So you give it to that person. That is a spiritual exchange that marks you for overflow. Amen. This is not dollars. It's not naira. It's not cedis. It's not rupees. What is it? Seed. Somebody say seed. Somebody say seed. That cup of water. That selfless act. That service that cost you something. I'm talking, it cost you something. It was a sacrifice. It cost you something. Every time you separate that seed from you and you give that seed away, guess what you are doing? You catch God's attention. Because he gave the first best seed for the redemption of humanity. Every time you separate yourself from that seed, grace abounds. Grace is released upon you. Grace is released. I've said this statement before, and I know many people might wonder about that. I've said, poverty is not a lack of money. Poverty is just one of the expressions of lack. But poverty itself is really not the lack of money. Poverty is a lack of grace. If you have all the money in the world, but you don't have God's grace, you are the poorest human being alive. You are the poorest human being. Grace is what makes you wealthy. Grace is what makes you blessed. Grace is what makes you overflow. That's why in this scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 8, he said, God is able to cause all grace to abound towards you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, can abound unto every good work. And in that verse 10, after he said, he who ministers seed to the sower
minister bread for your food. Multiply your seed sown. Increase the fruit of your righteousness. Then he said in verse 11, so you may be enriched unto all bountifulness. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So you may be enriched in all things unto all bountifulness. Remember, it started from seed. Without seed, there is no harvest. Hallelujah. I know how it gets. I get around this point and then the service starts dragging a little. Okay, I'm going to move on real quick. Move. Come on, move. Somebody say move. Come on, say move. Pastor Tinu read earlier Psalm 126. Just put that up for me real quick. Thank you so much. You are doing an awesome job back there. Put that up for me You don't have good news. Do you have good news? No, you don't have good news. You have good news by faith? You have good news by faith? But I mean the real Bible, like the one I need to be displayed on the screen right there. I mean, do you have the version called good news? That actual tangible version called good news, do you have it? I'm not saying do you have the gospel. Psalm 126 verse 6. I don't know what's the closest to good news that you have. Look at what it says in the good news. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy as they bring the harvest. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy as they bring the harvest. The seed is the first and most important prerequisite for harvest. The seed is what draws God's grace towards you. There is always seed before grace can abound towards you. Jesus was the eternal seed that God sowed for man's redemption and the harvest of humanity. I want to remind you the very first thing I said that I told you to write down. Every act of selfless giving in obedience to God is a supernatural transaction that puts you in position for heaven's overflow blessings. It's a supernatural transaction. Some things are very sacred, and some things should really not be talked about. And what I'm going to share with you in just a minute is very sacred. It is extremely sacred. I'm very careful to talk about it. I'm in reverence as I talk about it. I've been quaking since it became clear to me I needed to talk about it and I needed to show you what I'm going to show you. Some things are just sacred in life, should not be talked about casually. And for us, this is one of them. This is one of them. One of the most sacred supernatural transactions of selfless giving in our lives. And there have been so many, I can tell you, there have been so many experiences like this that we have had over the years. But I've got to say, this has got to be one of the most sacred ones. Your seed is holy. Your seed is sacred before God. Jesus is the high priest over the seed. And something will happen in your life the day you realize that thing that came out of you to bless humanity was not money. It wasn't clothes. It wasn't shoes. It wasn't something material. It's a sacred, holy seed that rises up to heaven. It's a supernatural transaction that marks you out for the blessings of God. So about 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago. So at this point in time, some of you, and so you can put up Brother Cap's photo there. If you have his photo, thank you. That's Charles Capps. Thank you. I like the one you picked. It's a nice one. Thank you. He wasn't really, we've just been blessed there. He was a teacher of the word. He was in the fivefold ministry. He was a teacher of the word of God. And he's in this dispensation, he's got to be one of those prominent teachers that the Lord used to bring elevation and revelation to the body of Christ. And his teachings, his words, are still going all over the world today. I've got to say, basically for me, then I just receive a lot of his teaching, I think Pastor Tinu is more into his, to a lot of his materials, was back then and still is today. For me, because he and Brother Hagin, I was more into Kenneth E. Hagin. And because they were quite close and they basically ministered similar things. So a lot of what Kenneth E. Hagin will talk about, he will reference Charles Capps. So we're not necessarily like regular supporters or partners with this, in a sense, maybe a little sense, but nothing major like this. But sometime about almost seven years ago, the Lord started talking to me about sending Charles Capps a significant seed. And just like everything else that happens in our lives, you know how you drag and you delay, especially when it comes to obedience, to giving. You drag, you delay, there are many things working, many factors. In our case, now looking back today, that seed was not really anything heavy, big. Certainly not for that ministry. As a matter of fact, I even forgot the size of the seed of it until a few weeks ago when Pastor Tinu reminded me of the exact amount of the seed, because I just knew it was a selfless sacrificial seed, but I couldn't even remember the exact amount until she reminded me. And so the Lord started saying, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And I was dragging. There were so many needs in our personal life, so many needs in the ministry, so many needs everywhere. And I was dragging. And the more, every time I went back to prayer, there's this sense of urgency that started coming. And the Lord said, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And finally, I told Pastor Tino, I said, the Lord is saying that we should do this. So, she said, oh, yeah, we better do it. I said, yeah, but, I want to do it. I'm just still believing God to help us put it together. So I was still almost dragging, and suddenly this urgency came, and I couldn't get away from the voice of God. And I finally obeyed. We got that seed together, and we sent it to Brother Charles Capps. And not many weeks after that, this was a very healthy, hearty, strong, blessed man. I think he just turned 80 about that time, actually. But if not too many weeks after that, we heard in the news that Charles Capps went to heaven. I thought, what? And when the Lord said to send that seed, he specifically said, send it to him personally, not to his ministry. So it was a seed written in his name, not to Charles Capps' ministries. And so several weeks later, we heard in the news, Charles Capps went to heaven. I thought, Lord, what happened to our seed? Who got our seed? You told us to send our seed directly to Brother Charles Capps. Who got that seed? A few days later, a card came in the mail.
And in this card, he started writing a note. And towards the end of his own writing, he scribbled, fainted off, and his daughter completed the note and sent it to us. And this is the note. Can you put up that one that is clear for everybody to see so I can read it directly from you? If it's clear enough, I'll read it from there. Oh, it's not clear enough, so I'll just read it. Is it clear enough? Can you see it? Can you guys see it? No? It looks faint a little bit. Let me just read it out to you here. And so, this is, brother. So the first part of it, you can see that first part, the top part before the arrow, that's Charles Capps writing that card, that note. The bottom part, now the last word there that he wrote, somebody wrote on what he had, something he scribbled there, they put white out and they wrote on it hundredfold. They finished his note for him. But then his daughter completed the note after the arrow. So I'm going to read what he wrote and I'm going to read what the daughter wrote. This is what Brother Capps wrote. Dear Pastor Kayode Antinu, should thank you for your seed to me. I really like that. Thank you for your seed to me, he said. We bless it according to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. To you, and we believe you will receive. That's where whatever he was writing, I don't know, maybe he just, I don't know what it was, but obviously somebody thought maybe the thing was not legible. I don't know. They put white out and they wrote a hundredfold on it. That man received our seed just as he was leaving and going to heaven. He received our seed just as he was leaving and going to heaven. His daughter completed the note and said, this note was interrupted and unfinished due to my dad deciding to go home to heaven on February 23rd. Thank you for blessing him with this gift. His ministry and broadcasts will continue to air with no interruption. Your generous donations are greatly appreciated, and the seed you have planted will generate and spread the word. We had no way of knowing that Charles Capps was leaving and going to heaven. There's no one on this earth who knew. Even his family didn't know he was about to leave. But God started to speak with this urgency. And God is my witness. Before this seed and after, we have not sown anything that significant to that man of God or his ministry. But the Lord started to speak with this level of urgency. Get that seed to him now. Get that seed to him now. Your seed is a supernatural transaction. If you've read the word of God, and you've read about Elijah, and you've read about the patriarchs of old, when they leave, they drop something. They never leave without dropping something. And I personally believe that one of the things that the Lord has done for us is he helped us get a little bit of the portion of some grace that will keep us walking in the direction of overflow. That will keep us walking in the direction of overflow. And let me tell you what the Lord said after this. The Lord said, I will bless you and your family and your ministry because of your obedience to my instruction. He said, I will always show up for you whenever you need me to.
And I can guarantee you, I can tell you, without, I'm not lying, God is my witness. He has always shown up. He has always shown up. God has never failed to show up. He has never failed. But you know the bigger thing about it? We are on our way to overflow. We're not there. We're not even close. But I know we are on our way to that overflow. And so are you. And so are you. But the Lord, is important that we understand the mystery of the seed. So are you at home? So are you at home? I know you've heard messages preached, and forgive me as a person. I don't know what other preachers you listen to. Forgive me as a person, because sometimes I'm just not as fine and not as nice around the edges. So it's most likely I've turned off a lot of people from even some of the ways that I've presented, some of the things that I've ministered. But you've got to understand, God just uses vessels. They don't have to be perfect vessels. And he channels his thing through each vessel, whoever they are. That's why God is a God of colors. He's a God of flavors, right? I mean, there's a nice preacher somewhere who's like going to put the same things that I say in ways that they are like butter, right? I mean, they are like music in your ears. When you hear them, nice, awesome, But don't let that distract you. Don't let the delivery distract you from the substance. Amen. Elijah was a prophet that was very, very rough around the edges. Very rough. Every time he left somewhere, somebody had to come clean up what he did. His successor was a handsome young man named Elisha. He was a fine young man. Very fine young man. I mean, when Elijah showed up and this woman saw him, he said, he's a man of God. He is a man of God. When Elijah showed up and he said to this woman, go give me, she said, I don't know. I mean, the guy was just like, man, I mean, this strange looking guy who wants to take my money, who wants to take my food. Eh? I'm saying this is the last thing I have for me and my son. Strange, weird looking. But Elisha was really quite nice. I mean, he's the kind of person you want to put in your guest suite, in your home. Elijah, you would think twice about that. You're like, huh, am I sure this guy will not burn our house down? Right? But you know what? Do not let the delivery or the style distract you from the substance in what God has channeled through his servants. I just want you to know, you may have heard so many things talked about the blessing of giving and generosity, and you may have heard that from our pulpit. Actually, in this period, I'm talking a lot about that. And some of what I've said may have turned you off, and some of what I've said may have kind of rubbed you the wrong way or whatever. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the substance. If it is true, if what you hear me telling you from the word of God, if it's true, and if you can verify it in the word, do it. Do it. Don't let the enemy cheat you. There is a reason why. Let me tell you. Do you know, for the rest of our lives, we will be forever thankful that we obeyed the instruction of God to send a seed to Charles Capps? This I told you, is very sacred. I mean, it's almost 7 years ago, I've never brought this out. You know where this usually is? In our bedroom, right opposite our bed. We see it every day. It's stuck on something. We see it every day. You are lying down, you see it. It's not a talisman, but it's very sacred. It's not talisman. It's not like, wow, if you can just touch this. If you touch this, something will happen. No, that's not what this is. But it's sacred. It's like, it's not close, but it will be like my Bible. My Bible is not a talisman, but it's sacred to me. The Lord talks through this Bible. I can't tell you how many places I've been in my life, and I opened this Bible and I heard the voice of God. That's why I know I've said it before many times, and some of you may have heard that, and you thought, that's weird. That's really strange. But it is true. I go everywhere with this Bible. Everywhere. Everywhere I go. It's in my car somewhere. And sometimes I've gotten in some real desperate places, and I couldn't wait to get to my Bible, whether it was in the car or it was somewhere where I'd kept it, where it was close enough, to go search for this scripture so I could hear what God was saying in that moment. This is sacred. This is sacred. But I can't tell you how thankful we are that we obeyed God. I want to close this out. And I want to talk about some other man who lived by the principle in that scripture. It's far away from you, so you can't see too clearly. But can you all see Luke chapter 6, verse 38? Yes. Can you all see it in Brother Charles, Brother Cap's writing? What does Luke chapter 6, verse 38? You can take that down. Thank you. What does Luke chapter 6, verse 38 say? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, run it over. Shall men. So God uses men and women. Men, women. You know, it's men. We learned the other day, when God says men, it's men and women. So don't say this God is gen. No, no, he's men. He's just. Shall who men give into your? I like the word running over. You know what running over means? It's the same word. It's the same phrase that psalm is used in 23 verse 5. What does he say? He anoints my head, my cup. My cup. My cup. When men give to you, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen? You are on your way to overflow. I say you are on your way to overflow. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Akron praise team, for that song you sang. Overflow, 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 overflow. You are on your way to overflow. Your cup will run over. All right, I want to close this out by reading the story of a man. I'm going to take excerpts from it. Several years ago, I want to read excerpts, and I challenge you to go pull up this story, by the way. You can find it on Google. I want to read excerpts from this story of this man who also lived by this principle in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So I'm going to read little bits, and then after that, we're going to pray. I'm just going to close out, and we're going to pray. His name, and you can put his picture up. Thank you so much for helping me get these photos. His name is J.D. Rockefeller. How many people have heard this name before? How many people know this name? All right. I want to read a few things that you may not have known about this man. And just because it's so long, I encourage you, just pull it up on Google. Just type it in there, John D. Rockefeller. I mean, all of us, we're preaching this service. This service is holding in Cleveland, Ohio today. Do you know the man was buried here in Cleveland? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some of you have seen, you've gone to that site, but let me read some excerpts. Just a few little portions, but you know, you'll do well to go read more about it. And I want you to see the most important things that I believe I want to say to you here now. So I want to see first paragraph here under the intro. So John Davison Rockefeller Sr., July 8, 1839 to May 23, 1837, was an American business magnate and philanthropist. He is widely considered the wealthiest American of all time and the richest person in modern history. Rockefeller was born into a large family in upstate New York that moved several times before eventually settling in Cleveland, Ohio. Rockefeller became an assistant bookkeeper at age 16. I tell you, some things about this guy just blew me out at age 16. And he went into several business partnerships beginning at age 20. Concentrating his business on oil refining, Rockefeller founded the Standard Oil Company in 1870. He ran it until 1897 and remained its largest shareholder. Let's go all the way down to religious views. I have a couple of paragraphs in religious views. Several years ago, I read a book written by a preacher who referenced this man and provoked my curiosity to read about him. I have two paragraphs on the religious views. I'm going to read some of his. This is the section under religious views. John D. Rockefeller was born in Richford, New York, then part of the Bond Over District, a New York State area being the site of an evangelical revival known as the Second Great Awakening. It drew masses to various Protestant churches, especially Baptist ones. This was the days of the Baptist, huge Baptist convention, and the Baptist denomination was really one of the most popular then in that season. Especially Baptist ones, urging believers to follow such ideals as hard work, prayer, and good deeds to build the kingdom of God on earth. Early in his life, he regularly went with his siblings and mother, Eliza, I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, or Eliza, to the local Baptist church, the Erie Street Baptist Church, later Euclid Avenue Baptist Church, just around us here. An independent Baptist church, which eventually came to associate with the Northern Baptist Convention. His mother was deeply religious and disciplined and had a major influence on him in religious matters. During church service, his mother would urge him to contribute his few pennies to the congregation. He came to associate the church with charity. A Baptist preacher once encouraged him to make as much money as he could and then give away as much as he could. Later in his life, Rockefeller recalled, "It was at this moment that the financial plan of my life was formed. Money making was considered by him a God-given gift." A devout Northern Baptist, Rockefeller would read the Bible daily, attend prayer meetings twice a week, and even led his own Bible study with his wife. Burton Folsom Jr. has noted, and this is in indents here, Rockefeller sometimes gave tens of thousands of dollars to Christian groups, while at the same time he was trying to borrow over $1 million to expand his business. Think about that. Think about that. He gave tens of thousands of dollars to help the people of God, while at the same time trying to borrow millions of dollars to help his business. I don't have time. I have to close this out here, so I'm not going to expatiate too much. But have you heard people say many times, God doesn't expect you to give what you don't have? Have you heard that? Oh, well, I got to pay my light. I have to pay my car note. I have to pay my mortgage. Yes, you do. But it's amazing that sometimes God can tell you, in spite of you trying to shuffle things together in your life, God can say, prioritize your kingdom giving first. God can say, prioritize. Don't get quiet on me. This is not a Baptist church. Tell your neighbor, say, prioritize your kingdom giving first. I already told you earlier, I can't expatiate on this now because We have to close. Those people online, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. Don't go. I want to pray with you, and I want you to join us as we pray for the Akron Church. Prioritize. I'm going to say this one more time. Prioritize your kingdom giving first. Remember what we learned earlier. Every seed God ministers to you is first a seed before it's bread. Notice in that scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, 10, he who ministers seed to the sower, minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, increase the fruit of your righteousness. What came first? Seed. What came second? Bread. What came first? Seed. What came second? Bread. That means everything God gives you is not bread first. What is it first? Seed. I told you there's a mystery to the seed. Yes. Everything God gives you is not bread first. What is it first? Seed. And after you sow that seed, and you have eaten some part of the bread, then the third part of that equation is God multiplies the seed that you sowed, and then increase the fruit of your righteousness. The increase you look for is from the seed that is sown. It's not that somebody should be getting your thing. It's not like somebody is, help me, Holy Spirit, let me stay here. Somebody say, close quickly, close quickly. Say that, say, close quickly. He sometimes gave tens of thousands of dollars to Christian groups while at the same time he was trying to borrow over $1 million to expand his business. His philosophy of giving was founded upon biblical principles. He truly believed in the biblical principle found in Luke chapter 6 verse 8. Can you read that with me? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. All right. Rockefeller would support. Do I want to read this one? Let's see. Emphasize, indented, highlighted, quote. Yes, I have that last paragraph. Let's go. Last. Yeah, that's it. Rockefeller would support. Yeah, it's so much. I had to go through it and pick out what was really relevant to my message today. And I don't want to take too much time doing this. Rockefeller will support Baptist missionary activity, fund universities, and heavily engage in religious activities at his Cleveland, Ohio church. While traveling the South, he would donate large sums of money to churches belonging to the Southern Baptist Convention, various black churches. Oh, God bless Rockefeller. God bless Rockefeller. Various black churches, as well as other Christian denominations. One time, he paid for a slave's freedom and donated to a Roman Catholic orphanage. God bless the family of Rockefeller. God, his children's 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 children. Bless the family of John D. Rockefeller, oh God. As he grew rich, his donations became more generous, especially to his church in Cleveland. Nevertheless, that church was demolished in 1925 and replaced with another building. Rockefeller left, and there was nobody else left to sustain that church. He left and there was nobody left to carry on the work. To the point that years after he died, a church he had invested heavily in became demolished. No more seed sowers to keep that work of the kingdom going. You just look all the way, look far out to the Middle East today. Look at places like Turkey. Just go read your Bible in the book of Revelations and look at where those churches in the book of Revelations were.
And today there's almost no evidence that there was ever a church there. It's not just that the devil is powerful. It's not just that there are attacks of the enemy. It's not just that he frustrates these and does that. I tell you one other thing. Is that when seed sowers leave the land, harvests disappear. When seed sowers leave the land, harvests disappear. Let me try to close this out. Last paragraph. Did I read that? Yes, I read. Okay, let's go under philanthropy. Philanthropy. First paragraph. Listen to me. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Hang with me. I'm almost there. Forgive me. I took long today. You say, well, you took long last week too. I'm sorry. I will be delivered. One of these days, your prayers will deliver me from this long preaching. Just keep on praying. Don't stop, okay? God is answering your prayers. Philanthropy, first paragraph, sixth paragraph. Listen to first paragraph. Son, I love you. All right? But I know there's this conflict between you, Chicago, and Northwestern. I'm on your side. I'm on Northwestern side. But Rockefeller, believe it or not, he actually owned you, Chicago, at a point in time. I'm sorry to tell you that, son. It really grieves my heart to let you know, but it's true. All right, philanthropy, first paragraph. Rockefeller's charitable giving began with his first job. Now, listen to this, folks. Rockefeller's charitable giving began with his first job as a clerk at age 16. Jesus, when he gave 6% of his earnings to charity, age 16, when nobody was preaching about tithe or this or that, at age 16. I know 60-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds that don't give 1% of their earning to the Lord. At age 16, 6%. And he recorded this in his personal ledger. By the time he was 20, his charity exceeded 10% of his income. 20. Much of his giving was church-related, kingdom-related. His church was later affiliated with the Northern Baptist Convention, which formed from American Baptists in the North with ties to their historic missions to establish schools. Listen to this. To establish schools and colleges for freedmen in the South and the American Civil War. God bless the family of John D. Rockefeller. Amen. Rockefeller attended Baptist churches every Sunday. When traveling, he would often attend services at African American Baptist congregations, leaving a substantial donation. God bless the family of John D. Rockefeller. Yeah. Substantial donations. As Rockefeller's wealth grew, so did his giving, primarily to educational and public health courses, but also for basic science and the arts. Tell you, he believed in science for sure. 10th paragraph. So that was first. Where's 6? 1, 2. I'm almost done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Rockefeller gave $80 million to the University of Chicago under William Rainey Harper, turning a small Baptist college into a world-class institution by the 1900s. He also gave a grant to the American Baptist Missionaries Foreign Mission Fund.
the American Baptist Foreign Mission Society, in establishing Central Philippine University, the first Baptist and second American university in all of Asia, in 1905 in the heavily Catholic Philippines. Rockefeller's General Education Board, founded in 1903, was established to promote education at all levels everywhere in the country. In keeping with the historic missions of the Baptists, it was especially active in supporting black schools in the South. Rockefeller also provided financial support to such established Eastern institutions such as Yale, Harvard, Columbia, Brown, Bryn Mawr, Wellesley, and Vassar. Sorry, no Princeton. Sorry, dear. That's 10 paragraph. 10 paragraph. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He gave nearly $250 million to the foundation which he started, which focused on public health, medical training, and the arts. It endowed Johns Hopkins School of Hygiene and Public Health, the first of its kind. It also built the Perkin Union Medical College in China into a notable institution. The foundation helped in World War I relief, and it employed William Lyon Mackenzie, King of Canada, to study industrial relations. In the 1920s, the Rockefeller Foundation funded a hookworm eradication campaign through International Health Division. This campaign used a combination of politics and science, along with collaboration between healthcare workers and government officials, to accomplish its goals. Rockefeller's fourth main philanthropy, Laura Spelman Rockefeller Memorial Foundation, was created in 1918. Through this, he supported the work in social studies. This was later absorbed into the Rockefeller Foundation. In total, Rockefeller donated about $550 million to different charities. Rockefeller became well known in his later life for the practice of giving dimes to adults and nickels to children wherever he went. He even gave dimes as a playful gesture to wealthy men, such as the tire mogul Harvey Firestone. I think most of us know that one. All right, this is the last line I'm going to read here. Last line. I think that's it. That's the last paragraph I have here. Last line. They summed up his life. Oh, man. It's not the last section. Wealth. Keep praying for me. I'm almost there. Rockefeller is largely remembered simply for the raw size of his wealth. In 1902, an audit showed Rockefeller was worth about $200 million compared to the total national GDP of $24 billion then. That is, I don't know if you know. Oh, did you guys replace? Put his picture back there. Don't worry about the scripture. I've already said the scripture. I've said many. Leave that one right there until I get to the end of reading about him. What am I doing? I'm just under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to transmit something to you here. I know you've read Luke 6:38 before. You've definitely read it before. All the scriptures I've quoted here today, you've read them before. I just don't know if you totally understand or grasp the full relevance of those scriptures and how it can radically change your life forever. His wealth continued to grow significantly in line with the U.S. economic growth as the demand for gasoline soared, eventually reaching about $900 million on the eve of First World War. Oh man, I'm going to skip all of this. I'm just going to go all the way down to the last thing here. Rockefeller, at age 86, this was towards the end of his life. He died at 98, I think he was. He didn't fulfill that dream. One of his dreams was to live up to 100. He didn't make it there. He died just, I think, a month or so before his 98th birthday. 98th, I think. Rockefeller, at age 86, penned the following words to sum up his own life. I was early taught to walk as well as play. My life has been one long, happy holiday. Full of work and full of play. I dropped the worry on the way. And God was good to me every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the life of John D. Rockefeller. Now, somebody is going to say, well, you know, there were controversies, and he did this with capitalism, and he did this with oil. That's your problem. Whatever you want to focus on, you focus on. What I need to focus on about his life, what touched me about his life, what blessed me about his life, what ministered to me about his life, that can radically change millions of lives all over the world, are some of the things I've read out to you. I'm going to read just that last psalm. It's just 5 lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines. Listen, I was early taught to walk as well as play. My life has been one long, happy holiday, full of walk and full of play. I dropped the worry on the way, and God was good to me every day. Oh, hallelujah. You know, as I close here, your life was planned by God for a unique destiny. John D. Rockefeller is gone, but you and I are still here. God made something beautiful and significant out of his life. And God wants to make something beautiful and significant out of yours. I want you, those of you who are in this sanctuary, to stand up with me as we close here. And I'm going to take a minute just to pray for you first. And those of you who are still, if you survived, I know what the report that I got is, many times when the service goes very long, you know, some people can't really, they can't last, you know, they're like, well, he's going too long today. We've heard the most important things he has to say. Let's drop. I hope some of you lasted. Well, after all, now you don't have to drive back home. You are home or wherever you are. So just make your lunch early, right? So you don't have to make lunch after church. Make it early. And after we finish service, you can jump into lunch. But I want to take a minute here and just pray for us and pray for our audience. And then I'm going to take a moment and we're going to pray over the Akron Church that we're celebrating today. Amen? And you are all going to help me do that. Why don't you, what I want us to ask God for right now, just everything, the goal of everything that I read and did today, is to stir and to provoke within you the desire to embrace the spirit of generosity. Your life can make a difference. God uses men and women. He can use yours. You know, somebody told me one time, they said, that's not written in his story, but they told me, they said, by the time John D. Rockefeller got closer to the end of his life, he was living on less than 10% of his income, and he was giving away more than 70%. I know I said this on this pulpit. God is not looking to relate with you at the level of minimum payment due. There's a lot of controversy about tithe. People are fighting over tithe, whether you should pay tithe or not. It's ignorance. That is ignorance gone to seed. The Lord wants to enrich you to the point where a very little proportion of what you have is so much more than you need, and you can bless the world with the rest of it. You can bless the kingdom of God with the rest of it. And so just wherever you are, here under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary, and at home, if you survive this, just reach out to the Lord right now. I want you just passionately ask God for the spirit of generosity. Lord, in the name of Jesus, baptize me with the spirit of generosity. Lord, inject me with a desire like I have never had before in my life to be generous, to be a giver, to be, Lord, someone who selflessly empties myself, sacrificially gives. Help me to be a lover of giving. A lover of giving. Lord, let me not be anymore one of those who squeeze their faces, one of those who are uncomfortable when they start talking about generosity, when they start talking about giving. Lord, baptize me with the spirit of generosity in the name of Jesus. Baptize me with the spirit of generosity. Give me a heart that yearns to give, to do good, to be a blessing to the world. Lord, give me a heart that yearns to bless man. Give me a heart that yearns to bless my community. God, give me a heart that yearns to bless the nations. Lord, give me a heart that yearns to bless the world. Help me, Lord, to desire, to be hungry, to be a blessing, to crave, to be a blessing, to crave, to be a blessing. Come on, cry out. Cry out. The Lord is here. The Lord is there with you. Cry out. Baptize me with a spirit of generosity. Baptize me with a spirit of generosity. Teach me the mystery of the seed. Open my eyes to see and to know and to understand the mystery of the seed. Open my eyes to learn, to know, to understand the mystery of the seed. Baptize me with the spirit of generosity. Baptize me with the spirit of a giver. Help me to be a giver. Help me to be a sower of seed. 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 Ask God to help you not to be disobedient, that you'll be prompt in obeying God. You'll be prompt in obeying God. You will not delay in obeying God. You'll be obedient to His word. You'll be obedient to His instruction. You'll be obedient to every command. Baptize me with a heart, God, that yearns for you, that is obedient to you. Help me, God, to have a desire to partner with you as you reap the harvest of the world in the name of Jesus. It's not according to the measure of what I have. It's not according to the measure of what I possess. It is my heart. Give me a heart that yearns to give. Give me a heart that yearns to be generous. Give me a heart that yearns to be selfless, to be sacrificial. Kobasha, Kobashataha, Kobashata. Lord, I pray right now for everyone under the sound of my voice, every man and every woman under the sound of my voice, that every word that you have spoken to us today, let this word stir up desire within our lives. Let this word provoke a hunger and a thirst and a desire to be sowers of seed, to be givers, to be givers, to be givers. Deliver us from being takers. Deliver us from being takers. Deliver us from being takers. Make us givers. 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 Come on, make this personal. Deliver me from being a taker. Deliver me from being a taker. Help me to be a sower and a harvester. Help me to be a sower and a harvester. Help me to be a sower and a harvester. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today. Lord, we've heard your word. There's hunger in our heart. Make it so. Radically change our lives. Make us, Lord, what you created us to be. Let this spirit of generosity be our new identity. Let it be our new mark. When people think about us, let them remember, he's a generous man. She's a generous woman. She has the gift of generosity. She's a giver. She's a blesser of men. She's a blesser of men. She's a blesser of men. Radically change our story. Radically change our story. Radically change our story, oh God. Redirect us in the path of destiny. Redirect us in the path of destiny. I'm a giver. Say it. I'm a giver. Say it. I'm a giver. I'm a sower of seed. Say it. I'm a sower of seed. Say it. I'm a sower of seed. And I'm a harvester. In Jesus' name. I'm a giver. I'm a sower of seed. I'm passionate about giving. I'm crazy about giving. I have the spirit of generosity. And I'm heading for overflow. I'm headed to overflow. I'm headed to Overflow Boulevard. I'm headed to Overflow Boulevard. Lord, I pray for the Akron Church. You planted the seed of this church. You laid the foundation of this church. You have made this church what it is. A church filled with the presence of God. A church filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. A church where love reigns supreme. A church where there is joy and liberty in the Spirit. A church where there is faith. A church where there is obedience. A church where the spirit of generosity reigns supreme. A church that is going beyond walls, that is going beyond borders. A church that is changing the community. A church that is changing the world. A church that is influencing the nations. A church of missionaries. A church of servants. A church of givers. And then make them a church of harvesters. Let them be blessed. Let them be blessed. Everybody connected with this ministry. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Woo. Your new days begin today. The best portion of your season begins today. The best portion of your existence as a ministry begins today. You will not go under, you will go over. You will not go down, you will go up. You will rise like a mighty edifice, shining brighter and brighter for the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. So shall it be. We call it so. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And everybody shout a living amen. Shout a living amen. Give the Lord a resounding hallelujah as we close out this service. Give him a shout of praise as we close out this service. Hallelujah. 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 Shout it out loud with me. Say overflow. Say overflow. Say overflow. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's somebody out there who's not born again, quickly pray this prayer with us. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge my sin. I cannot save myself, but I know Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he paid the price for my redemption. Today, I renounce sin and I renounce Satan. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new being. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. I thank you because from this moment onwards, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm redeemed, I'm justified. I give you the glory and I give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And amen. God bless you, and God bless you and keep you and your loved ones in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Congratulations, Abundant Life Akron. We rejoice with you. We celebrate you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.